You're listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange, where we talk with entrepreneurs from startup stage through stable and growing businesses. I'm your host, Cynthia Scherr, and my guest today is Aaron Bland, engineer and founder of Madrone Cycles. As a longtime cycling enthusiast, he wanted a drivetrain for his bike that wasn't too high-tech, fidgety, or unrepairable. So today we'll be talking about how he started Madrone Cycles and what makes it unique among bicycle parts companies. Welcome, Aaron.
Hi, Cynthia. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you here. So tell us about these issues or problems with bicycle parts that led to the founding of Madrone Cycles.
Sure. Well, for a handful of years coming now, the bicycle world has gone toward electronic componentry. And by that, I don't mean e-bikes or electric bicycles that help propel the rider forward. Actually, a lot of modern bicycle components have batteries in the derailleur and the shifter, or even some of the other controls that are on the bike for the seat post and things like that. So imagine a bicycle that you have where you actually need to remember to recharge your batteries in order just to be able to shift the bike. So we've kind of been watching this happen over years, but there's been a growing kind of pushback against that, where the electrification of these bicycles, it almost is antithetical to the purpose of a bicycle, which is to be a simple mode of transportation. And so that's really where we got started, or at least kind of maybe what set the stage. And one of the first products that we launched was kind of a hacker kit for electronic derailleurs. So,
okay, so stop right there and tell us what a derailleur is for people who don't regularly ride bicycles.
Yeah, good stopping point. A derailleur is the component on the bicycle that changes which gear you're in when you press the shifter. So the shifter is up at the handlebar. You click one of the buttons, and then that actuates the derailleur to move the chain onto one of the other gears. So the derailleur is that component down at the end of the bike by the rear wheel. And actually, since we're on the radio, the Jab derailleur does make kind of a fun sound. This is the clutch ratchet here. So I'm gonna let you hear this.
Cool noise. And those have been electrified? Those have been battery operated now?
Yep, believe it or not. And that, that's sort of a progression of the technology, but the analogy that I use is automatic transmission cars and manual transmission cars, where there's still a definite need and a kind of a stronghold base of people that prefer the older or the prior way.
And I know there's so many kinds of bicycles now. What kind of bicycles does Madrone make parts for?
Most of our customers are mountain bikers, and then we also fit into a couple other categories that are less kind of commonly known, but gravel biking is a new type of bike riding that's popular in the last 5 to 10 years, and then downhill mountain bikes as well, kind of a subgenre of mountain biking. But our derailleurs work on just about any bicycle that has one chain ring in the front and multiple gears in the back.
So I know you're an engineer. So did you start tinkering in your garage trying to figure this out? I mean, what was the real start of, inventing a better derailleur?
Well, I've been a lifelong cyclist. So I would say just watching the progression of bicycles and drivetrains over the years, adding more and more gears has put more and more of a challenge on derailleurs and drivetrain components to shift properly and run smoothly, and then the electrification as well. So by the time Madrone got started, there was a new line of products out there. The derailleurs would cost somewhere in a range of $600, electric derailleurs. So if you crash or something goes wrong, or the component just wears out, you're out $600 and you've got e-waste. So it's kind of a real... It just doesn't make a lot of sense. So the way we got started was just identifying this, I would say, gap in the repairability or at least the lifespan of these components. And we were like, there has to be a better way. Let's try to repair them. So that's how our first product really got started. It was a DIY fix-it kit. And as we got that launched, it became clear that if we had our own complete derailleur, we could design it to be repairable from the get-go. So the whole product itself is designed around being repairable or refurbishable. So that gives the end user the ability to replace any component or any number of components, depending on what might be damaged or what they want to change. So it puts more power into the end user's hands. And then We also offer a mail-in rebuild service where basically you can send back your old derailleur. It comes back to our workshop here in Ashland, gets refurbished and sent back out as like a factory certified refurbished unit. So there's a lot of different ways that we can support customers with the rebuildability of it. But the whole company in a way is kind of an exercise in, hey, can we build a company that's based on a circular model where products get built, they get sent out into the world to get used and abused or however they might, and then actually the business model itself is designed to take those products back in at the end of their life, refurbish them, and send them out for future use.
I can imagine that's pretty popular right now, given that we have such a consumable kind of culture. And so how does that appeal in particular to people who ride and take care of their bikes? I mean, is that something that they are looking for when they're assembling their bike? Is they want a derailleur that can be repaired, or are you creating that niche?
I think there's kind of a, right now, all of our customers, I think you could call them early adopters. So many cyclists work on their own bikes. They love fixing them. They love modifying them and riding them and all those things. But there's a big chunk that doesn't. And I think most of our customers are the DIY types. They enjoy working on bicycles. And, you know, I myself am obviously one of those people. But so that's where we, you know, I think we definitely are. Those people existed. We're not necessarily creating that niche. I think we scratched an itch. Within the bicycle industry, there are two main component makers, SRAM and Shimano. Most people have probably heard of Shimano, but both are quite big. So there's almost, in a way, you could kind of think of it as a duopoly as far as who has the market share within drivetrain components. So for a small company like Madrone, who's offering something that is very different, in other words, not electronic, it is fully repairable. We give people a lot of options in the product line. It breaks down compatibility barriers quite a bit. So it's kind of like power to the people in a way. And so as we went to some of the first trade shows, that was overwhelmingly the feedback we were getting was like, finally, you know, finally, someone's making something that we can repair, and it doesn't force me to use batteries, and it doesn't prevent me from, you know, modifying the bike in this way. And so that sort of empowerment to people is really what I think struck a nerve, and we listen to that and do what we can do to continue supporting those people.
You're listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Cynthia Scher, and my guest today is Aaron Bland, founder of Madrone Cycles. So some of what you're describing in this circular business model reminds me of Patagonia. You know, people are willing to pay a premium for Patagonia gear because they will replace it, they'll repair it, they'll recycle it, something like that. Is that a brand model that you're after?
Absolutely. We love that association. And I hope, you know, we try to be authentically who we are as individuals. The team is about six people. But absolutely, I mean, that's something I think we all sort of intuitively, you know, agree upon whether it's said or not, but the way that people see a company like Patagonia, we want people to see Madrone Cycles in that same way within our own little zone that we operate in.
And are there influencers in your industry? Like, are you trying to get in front of certain people who other cyclists follow, or what's your go-to-market strategy here? Is it straight to consumer, or are you going to bike shops?
Yeah, there's most of our customers are direct to consumer through our website. We actually end up shipping to about 40 countries worldwide. In addition to that, we do have a growing dealer network. I think we're up to about 100 dealers worldwide. Most are in the U.S. and North America. But there's a lot of, I mean, cycling is a worldwide sport. So we've been surprised which corners of the world people have reached out from.
Fascinating. And so you have worked at several different companies. You've worked with Amazon, you've worked with Brammo, which was a local company, and with Worksharp. What did you learn at those companies that fed into the founding of Madrone?
Well, Brammo was kind of how I got started when I moved to Southern Oregon in 2004. And actually, one of your previous guests, Mike Sorensen, he was my first boss and first engineering mentor. It's hard not to be inspired when you're working with Mike. He's just such a creative wizard when it comes to engineering. So I think, you know, being around the Brammo team and Craig and Brian and Mike and everyone else, it's just such a entrepreneurial group of people. So that really sparked my interest. And then at Amazon, I worked on the delivery drone program, developing battery packs for those drones. So that was a fun kind of high-tech, high-budget program up at Amazon. And then moving back to Ashland here, in more recent years, we were up in Seattle with Amazon. But back here in Ashland, when I joined WorkSharp, it was really the first consumer product-focused company that I had worked for. So that really showed me kind of a more full picture of product development, marketing, supply chain, and how they do things. And it's such a cool local company with such great people that, you know, I don't think it would be a huge stretch to say that Madrone is a spinoff of WorkSharp. And still, a lot of those people there are mentors for me and give me advice when I'm stuck or we have questions or want to know something about marketing or patents or supply chain. They're right there to support us.
That is so good to hear. You know, whenever businesses attract a lot of talented people, they often have what I call businesses that have babies, mm-hmm. you know, and really help build the whole entrepreneurial environment in a location. So that's really exciting to hear that they've been very supportive of your effort with Madrone.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked a little bit about your competitors, and they're distinctly different in terms of magnitude, certainly, and in terms of the type of production they're doing. You are producing derailleurs and your other products here in Ashland, is that right?
Yeah, the way I simplify this is half of it's made in China, half of it's made here in Southern Oregon. So the components, the individual pieces that go into the derailleur are made in China, actually by one of the WorkSharp suppliers. So that's where that relationship originated, actually. And so that was a real seamless transition for me when we started Madrone Cycles. So those components are made. It's a group of factories over in the Shenzhen area, which is the high-tech manufacturing zone in China. And then they're shipped over here as pieces. There's about 60 individual pieces inside one of the derailleurs. And then they're all assembled here in Ashland. We have a workshop over on Hersey Street, right next to WorkSharp, in fact. So we have a small assembly area over there with, you know, very basic tools and basic fixtures. A lot of our tools and fixtures are modified or like 3D printed, very low budget, if you will. But we focus on, you know, lean manufacturing concepts and just doing what we can do with our small little team.
And so what are your growth plans? Where do you see yourself? You know, you're a two-year-old company, right?
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years from now?
I think of Madrone as a bicycle drivetrain company that makes rebuildable, refurbishable drivetrain components for bicycles and e-bikes, kind of as a general category for us. As far as what's next, increasing revenue is a big part of it. Improving our operational efficiency is another part of like kind of getting the business just kind of working better and working right. We learn something literally every single day. This has been a very humbling process, but also a very meaningful and exciting one. That's kind of how I see like the next steps. I mean, we do get asked a lot, what's the next product going to be? So we get a lot of requests for making shifters, and there's a handful of other ideas that we have in the works. But what I try to focus on in terms of any product that we might create is delivering real value. Maybe said a little bit differently, you know, we don't want to make something that you can get somewhere else that already exists, because why do that? If we're going to create something and put resources and materials out into the world, let's do that where it's actually delivering some value to humans or the planet or whatever. And, you know, being refurbishable is always going to be a part of those products. Yeah.
And what do you find most helpful about starting a business in Southern Oregon? What's most appealing about starting a business in Southern Oregon?
A big one for us is that this is a strong cycling community. And that goes for mountain biking, gravel biking, road biking. Just the terrain itself is amazing. And that's woven into the brand through the name, you know, which is based on the Madrone trees that are around here in Southern Oregon. Very interesting. But there is a number of bicycle brands that will weave their location, their origin story into the brand. And that's, we definitely intend to do that with Ashland Trails and Southern Oregon. The name of this derailleur, the product line, is the Jab Derailleur, which is named after the legendary Jabberwocky Trail right here in Ashland. So I think we'll continue to use that pattern where we're naming our products after the local trails.
Oh, that's great. So it really is sort of organic to the area in terms of the Madrone symbol and the trails and the trail names. That's awesome. Well, it's been great talking to you today and just wish you every success going forward.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Aaron, thanks again for taking the time to tell your story on the show today. You've been listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange. My name is Cynthia Scherr, and you can find this and other episodes at jeffexchange.org and on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.